Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Well, we're very sad to learn of the passing of Eddie Van Halen. Bit of a sad week, I think, for both of us, for the What Difference Does It Make podcast and probably most of our audience.
Yes, he had an impact on any music fan. Even if you weren't a music fan, you knew of Van Halen and just their reach and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They're, you know, like trying to buy tickets for, you know, this ticket that cost $12.50 is now being sold for $20. Such a ripoff. But so anyway, Van Halen impacted popular culture. We wanted to dedicate an episode to Eddie Van Halen besides Holly and I.
We spoke to Mark Goodman, one of the first MTV VJs and currently on Big 80s on 8 on Sirius XM and the Volume Channel.
So I mean, even though it's sad that Eddie passed away this week, we wanted to share in the joy that his guitar playing brought to us. So we're going to get right into it. Let's get started. Yeah, so let's just get into the impact that Eddie had on our lives. I know, you know, first hearing it from, I first heard Van Halen from my cousin who had the first record, and it was just these four sweaty guys on the cover, and like, what the hell is this? And but I remember, I mean, obviously even though Running with the Devil was the first song, I think it was Eruption where I was like, well, this sounds different. This is weird. It did sound weird to me. Do you remember hearing the guitar sound or what? You know, I was still, yeah. I was like 11, 12. So yeah, it was different. It was something really unique going on there.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was weird. It was mind blowing. All of it. I mean, it just the sound of his guitar. I mean, the band is, you know, great. But the sound of his guitar is so distinctive. And so when you heard Eruption.
Yeah. No, you knew this was a unique personality. This was, mm-hmm. You know, you've heard bands before and you wouldn't be able to pick out, for the most part, who's playing guitar. All of a sudden this guy comes around like, oh, that's, yeah, of course, that's Eddie Van Halen. That's his signature sound. And just someone who can create that through a, you know, what was it, a 40 year career is insane. You know, just making, you know, so many great albums that are still uniquely Van Halen, that still have that Van Halen sound. Even if he's playing keyboards, you kind of knew like he added the,
it's his sound.
It's a keyboard sound. It's a guitar player playing keyboards, but that was, you know, on Jump, you knew that was Van Halen. That was Eddie.
Speaking of Jump, do you have a favorite song?
A favorite Van Halen song?
Yes. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I know, as I'm going
it's
to.
It's not like we've had time to think about it.
That's true. I know. you know, it's it's funny because I loved 1984 had the biggest impact, I think, because it was like my senior year in high school. And just, it was just, being a 17-year-old and hearing this music, it just became 1984 kind of became the soundtrack of my high school career. So, I mean, Jump and Panama, Hot for Teacher are all great. Girl Gone Bad, it's amazing. Even the ballad, I'll Wait, was amazing. Really good. That whole album is great. I really couldn't pick one particular song, but if I had the soundtrack my life, I would probably play 1984. The 1984 album would have a big, big spot there.
Wow. Wow. I get that because it's also emotional and sentimental, but it's not my favorite album. And the only song that I would pick out on that is one that I could listen to again and again is I'll Wait.
Oh yeah.
I much prefer Van Halen, the first album, and Van Halen 2 and Women and Children First. Those three albums are just quintessential and just, and I don't know if it was the time and place, like you're saying, this brought back your senior year of high school. I can't even tell you where, I mean, you know, it was a little earlier for me, but those songs are just something about hearing those songs, you know, well, Running with the Devil and Dance the Night Away.
Yeah. Those first three were great. And the fourth album was like a metal record too, I think that was like the heaviest Van Halen record. And I came to love that album as well. you know, with Unchained and Mean Street. But it was still fun. Like I remember watching on MTV, they had a concert video of them performing So This Is Love. And I had never seen Van Halen before. So that was kind of like my first exposure to like, oh, so this is what a Van Halen experience is like. And it was fun. He just emoted so much. I seem to say the word fun a lot, even though he did have his own personal issues. When he was up on stage, you felt like that's, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. This is the greatest thing ever.
I mean, it was fun. I mean, it was fun and it was great music and it was, there was something about seeing them. And you said, you know, it wasn't till later that we found out about the interpersonal issues that they all had. Obviously the whole world knows about them, but at the time you thought this is a band, like every element of this band is fun.
Yeah. I mean, even Michael Jackson wanted to be a part of this. You know, when you want to make a rock song, who are you going to call it? And as we've heard later, he kind of moved around the song a little bit, rearranged it, and made it an even better song that Michael agreed that this was the way he arranged it was much better than what was on the page initially.
I really appreciate that, the fact that someone like Michael Jackson is acknowledging somebody else's art and that could help make him better. You know, I mean, it's Michael Jackson.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Even, yeah, as Eddie had stated in an interview before, when he made the changes without Michael knowing it, you know, he says you never know how artists are going to react when you mess with their songs. Michael, and he immediately recognized that this was a better song. And so he was right.
Yeah. God. So you saw them. When did you see them live? Do you have any, any memory?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, 1984 was the soundtrack, and we tried to get tickets being in Los Angeles. They only had two shows, and we trusted our friend to get tickets, and it just did not happen. I wasn't able to see him for that show. I think I was too young to see him earlier. It just was not going to happen. So, the first time I saw him was on the, I saw David Lee, I remember it was 86 because I saw David Lee Roth, his solo tour. And then I saw 5150 with Sammy. And but it's, you know, it's just nice to kind of be in the same room as this guitar god and hearing him in an, you know, he's in an arena rock band, hearing this arena rock guitarist playing these iconic songs. It's such a treat.
I don't think I saw it a couple of times with David Lee Roth, most memorable, the Women and Children First in 1980.
Yeah.
Girl, that's, I think, also what I thought is another interesting fact. I think girls appreciated them as much as guys, you know, this rock and roll band.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie was he's a good looking guy. He was good. He's good to look. He was nice. Good guy to look at.
But the music too, I think.
It was one of those, people seem to lump them into the hair metal bands genre, but they weren't that at all.
They're so much more than that.
They were a pop band at its heart. They were a pop band. They knew how to write a song with a hook, make it memorable, and make it appeal to both guys and girls, which is kind of a rare thing, especially for something that's kind of a hard rock sound.
It sounds so ridiculous now, back then it was kind of true.
And you did touch on that Women and Children First. I know, it took them forever to get this picture right. I think there was a lot of infighting between it, but it's like the D-Day. It always reminds me of the D-Day statue, you know, with the GIs raising the flag.
Yes.
This is everyone gathered around Eddie as he raises his guitar. And there, you know, it's rock, but it's, you know, it's so American. It's just like, this is fantastic. It's probably one of the greatest covers I've seen.
You're so right. I wasn't even giving that any. I wasn't looking at it now. You're absolutely right. Right.
Yeah, we're paying homage. This is like the American flag. This is Eddie Van Halen's guitar. Let's salute it. Let's give it props.
So, as we should.
Yeah. So it's really nice. We're also going to talk with we're going to talk with Craig Rosen. And we're going to talk with Mark Goodman. This is great to get their insights. We were able to get a hold of them. We kind of slapped this show together really quick, but we wanted to honor Eddie. We're going to we'll put together a Spotify playlist of some of our favorite Eddie songs, and I'll have a link on there. And so, I hope you enjoy this show of this kind of special edition of What Difference Does It Make? We had the good fortune to talk with Mark Goodman, he of VJ of MTV, now at Sirius XM on the Volume Channel.
And Big 80s on 8.
And Big 80s on 8. He had some insight into, a little insight into Eddie Van Halen and the impact of his life. And so let's get right into our talk with Mark Goodman.
We're on the air live. Last night we went an extra hour, and it's really, we've lost a lot of people over the last bunch of years, and people were really, really upset about this. Yeah. People were crying on the air.
Talk about, because when we go into the MTV book, it immediately, you know, I was like, okay, let me scan around and see what I can find about Van Halen. It's chapter one. Van Halen is chapter one in the book that you wrote.
You're talking about the book that was written by the oral history that was written by all five of the first VJs.
Yes.
Four. Yeah.
Four. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. JJ's, oh, yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. JJ was amazing. Obviously, Van Halen had a huge impact on MTV. The book in your stories mainly touched on David Lee Roth, but I know that Eddie had a huge impact on MTV and on your life. And what?
Oh, man. Yeah. The fact is that I the reason that Dave is sort of primary is because he is who I hung out with most. The famous one, and I literally got a call on my live show 2 days ago from someone who informed me that my full David Lee Roth US Festival, US 83 Festival interview has been reposted, where Dave was completely hammered, completely coked to the gills, and I was trying to interview him. So that's been reposted, and Eddie was nowhere to be seen that night. This was the $1 million compound and all of that. So I didn't see Eddie, but I guess a few years later, I was at the Monsters of Rock, one of the gigs at the Monsters of Rock tour, and Sammy was in the band by that time. And, that was really, the only time I got to actually interview Eddie. I've talked to him here and there. I didn't know him the way that I knew Dave. But Eddie was, he just always seemed to be in a funny mood. That smile that we all have come to love when he would shred. I mean, that was Eddie. And man, oh man, just, one thing that sort of occurred to me when the word came that he passed away was, as I'm a kind of a Dave era Van Halen guy, but Dave and Eddie were like, you know, oil and water, and Sammy and Eddie just seemed like of a piece. Those guys, when I talked to them together, they were just making jokes with each other and laughing and making jokes with me. And they were, it was very easy. It was never easy the times that I had been around Dave and Eddie together. They sort of peacefully coexisted. And that, I guess, came to be borne out towards the end there. But it's an incredible, incredible loss, Eddie Van Halen. I mean, the Mozart of the guitar, people are saying. It's really something.
Yeah, we've lost two musicians who, with Neil Peart and Eddie Van Halen, not the front man, but without their input, these bands would not exist as they established.
One of the people who called on the Volume show said Neil Peart was the Eddie Van Halen of the drums, and Eddie was the Eddie Van Halen of guitar. And I mean, the people that we heard from, the musicians that were on Twitter, people who hadn't even met the guy, who were guitar players and smoking guitar players, were all like, that's it. You know, he is the be all and end all. There is no one who has done more for the instrument than that guy. And the reverence was really, really amazing. Even though we haven't even heard from the guy in years and years, you know, he is still a presence. It's a big loss, really hard.
No, I was just going to comment. You don't, the same with Neil Peart. you don't think of them as the face of the band, but they really are. I mean, they are equally out in front.
Yeah,
as the,
for sure.
As the singers. I mean, they are. Yeah. When I think of Van Halen, that is, of course, who I think of, and Rush too, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. 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 So a sad one.
Can we go? Yeah. Well, then let's go back to your WMMR days when probably you first heard Van Halen. You were the music director. So that might have, that album actually probably came across your desk. And what do you remember first hearing Van Halen? Or like,
oh, my had God. You heard? Yes. Okay. Are you kidding? Oh, geez. You have to, you know, yes. You have to remember the era, right? Disco was massive. So was punk, but not so much here. And also it was, you know, corporate rock, Boston. Mm-hmm. And that stuff, and even, you know, maybe a slightly different genre, Pink Floyd, you know, they were prog, but also they were airtight, you know. Boston, it was like hermetically sealed. And along comes these guys. They were just, I mean, Eddie was shredding, Dave was having a party. It was a whole different vibe. And I have to say, I mean, the first, when I heard Eruption, I put the needle down and heard Eruption for the first time. I was like, whoa, game changing time. It was like nothing I had ever heard. And we jumped on that record right away. Of course, we're all over it. it was a godsend for me because I was so like, ugh, enough with this corporate overproduced stuff. It wasn't floating my boat. It wasn't exciting me. And to have these guys come along and bring the fun back to rock and roll was what it was all about. It was great.
Well, thank you to Mark Goodman, who's so generous with his time to talk a little bit about Eddie Van Halen. When we return, we will talk with a journalist and friend of the show, Greg Rosen.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our special edition honoring the life and music of Eddie Van Halen. And we had a chance to speak with friend of the show, music journalist, and musical encyclopedia, Craig Rosen.
That first Van Halen album came out, and was a skateboarder, was in junior high school. I had a friend, Lance Matthews, who was really, really into the first Van Halen record, and he got me into it as well. He would play, you know, not only air guitar, air drums to Van Halen. I remember that well. And I did, it's lucky enough, I did see the first Van Halen, you know, the original great lineup in its prime two times. And the first time, it's a funny story, it was at this thing called the California World Music Festival, which was a 2-day event at the Coliseum in LA, California with two F's for some reason. I don't know why. I'm sure I actually have my ticket stub somewhere here if you dig it up. But it was headlined the day that I went. It was headlined by Aerosmith, and second on the bill, the hot up and coming Van Halen. Mm-hmm. And some of the other bands that played, I think I may have even mentioned this the last time I was on with you guys, that the Boomtown Rats opened up and they were like punk rock, and Bob Geldof asked the crowd to salute him, and everybody, you know, all the rockers like flipped them off, because, you know, they're like, who the hell are the Boomtown Rats? And he's like, the folks at home are going to love this. And some of the other bands, April Wine, I think, and Toto. But Van Halen came on and they were effing incredible. I mean, they were really great. You know, a lot of energy. David Lee Roth in his prime, jumping all over the place. Eddie with those incredible solos and those incredible riffs. You know, the crowd was going crazy. And, you know, I dug it, you know, and I enjoyed it. But Aerosmith was my band. You know, after Van Halen played, people started leaving, and I was getting so upset. I was getting so mad. How could you leave? Aerosmith is going to play. You got to stay and see Aerosmith. And, you know, Aerosmith came on. They were just okay. I think it was like really in the drug fueled days, and they just weren't very good. So Van Halen completely blew them off the stage that night. Much to my disappointment, but they were great, and I'm glad that I was able to see them. I did see them again on the tour to support Van Halen too at the Forum, and that was also a great show. But RIP Eddie Van Halen. I mean, I'm just, you know, I was going to pull out the vinyl, but I was downstairs the other day, so I just put up YouTube on the big screen, and I watched a bunch of Van Halen videos, especially the I did watch Hot for Teacher, but mostly I watched these performance videos from the first album that were just incredible. It looked like they shot them all in the same day because they were all wearing the same outfits. But, you know, there was no props or anything. It was just them playing and just the charisma that they all had and that sound. I mean, it's really, you know, the prototype rock band. You know, you have the crazy charismatic lead singer and the guitar god. You know, it's going back to the Stones, Mick and Keith, Aerosmith with Tyler and Perry, Van Halen with David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen, you know, those classic twosomes. And, you know, I guess it continued with Axl and Slash, but, you know, really those dynamic pairings of the singer and the guitarist. And those pairings, hey, can't forget Stipe and Buck. Although not metal, but you know, of course, that's you know, the same in the same arena, Townsend and Daltrey, you know, those classic pairings. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but those pairings, those classic pairings of the singer, the charismatic singer, and the guitar god, and, you know, just as important as a unique voice with the singer is a guitar. A guitarist with a style and a sound that's all theirs. And, you know, Eddie Van Halen certainly had that. You know, it's like you can tell it's him. You don't have to hear anybody singing. You can hear just a few notes and you know it's him. you know, whether it's on electric or acoustic. I mean, the guy was like a true genius, a master of the instrument. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I know. No. So we are talking with Craig Rosen. He's friend of the show and resident expert on all things rock and roll, and we had to bring him in. He was as a Valley guy, you couldn't escape Van Halen. They were all over the place, especially if you're growing up in the late 70s, early 80s. They were the shit, man. You know,
they were.
Because you're a music journalist, you may remember this. I thought the first time I had seen them was 1980, which was after Women and Children First was released. But did they play the Forum 79 and 80? Because I did see them at the Forum. Maybe I'm thinking of 70. Oh.
Yeah, I definitely saw them. And I'm pretty sure I saw them in, I think it was 79. It was, in support of Van Halen too, because they got super popular pretty quickly once the record came out. I mean, they were all over the radio, and, they were huge. They were, and they really did, they just like broke through, and they became, like I said, that night in the Coliseum, they were more popular than Aerosmith, and, Aerosmith was huge at that point. They stole the show from the headliner.
By the way, they were doing as many drugs as Aerosmith, but they were 10 years younger, so they could ruin 10 years down the road, it ruined them. But when you're in your 20s, you could do whatever you want, and it's water off a duck's back. But like comparing and contrasting Joe Perry to Eddie Van Halen, Eddie, most guitarists back in that day were kind of the grimace, you're doing a solo and they're grimacing like if this is really difficult and, I'm trying really hard and can you believe, oh my God, I'm hitting these notes. Eddie was always smiling or made a surprise face like, oh, hey, look what I can do. And, it was just, he made guitar playing fun again.
Just a happy face. Happy face.
I don't know if that was off stage, but on stage, he projected this. We are having this great time. I'm playing guitar. Look, you see, like I'm Back to the Future. You know when Marty McFly is doing like the finger touches. That's an ode to Eddie.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think Van Halen really, they were, a good time party band, with David Lee Roth. And, like, as you say, Eddie just looked like he was having the time of his life there. He wasn't like all tortured or whatever. He was smiling and he had that classic grin. They had the dramatic Ain't Talking About Love. I've been to the edge. I stood and looked down. I lost a lot of friends there. But you know what? It wasn't really that dark. Yeah. It was all about the party and they, danced the night away later, just a great song.
It's good times.
And I think I just looked up on, set list. I think the Forum show that I saw was the October 7th, 79. And I think it was the World Vacation Tour is what it was called. But I think was in support of Van Halen too. Pretty sure looking at the set list and it looks like it's there. Cause I did lose interest in them not too long after. I mean, I do have a few more of the records on vinyl, maybe I got them later, but I wasn't the first two albums I was all in, but then I lost a little bit of interest.
However, even if you weren't into it, you still knew those songs. You knew And the Cradle Will Rock, even if you weren't into them anymore, somehow these songs got into your brain.
You couldn't miss. I mean, you couldn't miss them. I mean, they were all over the radio. They were all over MTV and they did, I mentioned those early performance videos, but then they, they had some really classic and sophisticated and funny videos. I mean, I saw Hot for Teacher yesterday on YouTube and, it's pretty hilarious. It's just goofy and, they were just such characters, And, although, of course, David Lee Roth was the guy mugging the most for the camera, but, Eddie seemed to enjoy it as well. And that, that sort of spread his guitar wizardry to the masses. People could see what they didn't have to see him live. They could see his fingers and see his playing up close on their TV set. you know, and I think that was a huge, you know, that really helped them make an impact across the country, across the globe. I interviewed Herb Alpert recently, and he mentioned that about how, you know, just he wasn't talking about rock and roll. He was talking about jazz, but, you know, just the musicians that have their own distinct voice, those are usually the ones that are the most successful. Because they don't really, you know, they're unique. They don't sound like, they're not just an imitation. They may be influenced by someone, at least initially, but they do their own take on it. I mean, like Van Halen, one of their first, it might have been their first single. I don't, you know, I don't have a book in front of me to check, but I think You Really Got Me was one of the first things that went to radio and one of their first successful tracks. You know, it was a Kinks cover, but they put their own spin on it. You know, I mean, it's really a different song almost, you know, I mean, it's they took the Kinks blueprint and definitely put their added their own flavor to it.
Gene Simmons did the demo. The initial demo was
he did. I think there were four tracks. I actually have a boot. It's on YouTube, but I have it in my in here. I have it in my iTunes. It's called Van Halen Zero. Not Van Halen 1 or Van Halen 2. The demos are Van Halen 0. Oh, you can find it on YouTube.
Oh, very good. I'll
yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's up there.
Yeah, You Really Got Me. Yeah. Number 19. Spent 3 weeks on the chart, peak at number 36. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, that was the first one?
Yeah.
But that's the pop charts. But, I mean, if like on KMET and KLOS, it was number one consistently.
Oh, yeah, it was... You know, another unique thing, I touched upon it before, but they weren't just a hard rock band. They could rock as hard as anyone else, but then they also had this pop element, you know, as well, you know, with Dance the Night Away and then Jump, you know, I mean, and that was like really keyboard driven, you know. It's kind of interesting that, you know, oh, Eddie Van Halen, you know, well, I'm getting tired of just people thinking I'm a guitar whiz, so I'm going to make this little pop ditty here with some keyboards on it, and it's going to go to number one, you know?
And it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was great. No, that was the album that broke them to the masses, the 1984, which, you know, they understood MTV. I think they were one of the first bands that really understood the, you know, how this medium works. And, I, you know, a lot of it was David Lee Roth, but it was the music as well. Even they like Jump, it's just a pop song. We're going to create this pop song. We're going to do this video. We're all having a great time. This is kind of what a Van Halen concert is like. Come aboard, you know, come join us, come join the Van Halen train and, you know, have a good time. That's exactly what they reflected that. They did great covers. I mean, Pretty Woman. Yeah. Have you ever?
Oh, yeah.
You should look up, see the video, the full version of Pretty Woman, you know, with the Eddie Van Halen instrumental leading into Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. And that's brilliant as well. But it's just them dressing up and being goofy, the video.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it.
Actually, I think Eddie played on a Thomas Dolby song. I think Thomas posted something yesterday. He said Eddie didn't play on too many tracks, guest on many different artists, but he did. I did have the good fortune that he played on one of mine.
Eastern Block and close but No Cigar
from his 1992 album Astronauts and Heretics.
I don't know those songs.
We're gonna have to look those up and put it on the Spotify playlist.
They were recording for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge at the time.
Oh, okay. Were they like in adjoining studios or something?
He said, are you reading this, Dave? He invited Thomas Dolby up to his home recording studio to squeeze in a couple of days of work.
Why not?
He says, Dolby says he soon realized, though, that every hour of Van Halen's day was like a scene from Spinal Tap.
That is funny, but kind of makes you wonder what Eddie's day-to-day life was actually like. But I'm also reminded of the recording for Beat It. He was about to put down the song, or record the song, And then Michael had to leave. He said, he had to do some ET recording or something, but he left the studio and Eddie suggested, can we move things around a little? And I think he moved like the middle eighth or he moved the song around and changed the solo and just the the arrangement of the song. And when Michael came back, you know, he wasn't sure. He's like, well, you know, when you deal with artists, you're never sure if they're going to hate it or love it. And Michael was very appreciative of it. He's like, I'm so happy you've made this a better song now. I don't think Eddie got paid for that performance.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he did. I think he did as a favor.
I saw something last night was working that Pete Townsend said that he was originally going to do it and couldn't do it, and he suggested Eddie, which I didn't know.
Whoa.
Good suggestion.
But yeah,
that would have made quite a difference.
Yeah, I think that's in. I think that might be on Rolling Stone. Might be on Rolling Stone. I mean, it's weird. It's just like it's so awful. I mean, I posted on Facebook yesterday. It's just so awful that, you know, in the last 5 years or so, we've lost so many great musicians. You know, it's just when you think about it, you know, Prince, Tom Petty, Bowie, Leonard Cohen, you know, it's just, you know, Eddie Van Halen, you know, it's just John Prine, you know, the list goes on and on.
Neil Peart.
Yeah.
To that point, though, about the tributes online, for people who know, who are close to the family, I have such mixed feelings about that. But a lot of these people are probably reaching out to the family as well, not just, you know, tweeting.
Right.
You know?
I agree. And it's like, it is difficult to do, you know, how do you sum up a relationship of decades? And, you know, I mean, they, you know, those guys were probably like brothers on the road, you know, and they had their, you know, differences, and they probably had their fights and everything, but still, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, they were incredibly close and bonded, making music together, making, you know, some incredible music that will stand the test of time.
I agree.
Kind of hard to sum that up in a sentence on social media for the world to see.
One of my favorite photos of David Lee Roth and Eddie is probably from 1975, 76, maybe later. They're in front of a McDonald's. They're having Quarter Pounders with Cheese, and they're in front of the Golden Arches, and they're just eating. It's just them eating a burger, smiling at the camera. Like, two guys having some fast food before the big show or after or on the road. You know, that's. That pretty much sums up what the life that they led for so long.
I guess they were. Yeah, I mean, you know, they were, before they became big rock stars, they were regular guys from Pasadena. Yeah.
The funny thing is, Eddie and Alex were not Americans. I think the dad was Dutch, and the mom, I think, was from Indonesia, I think. And they didn't speak any English when they first got to America. So, you know, Eddie's an immigrant. He's living the American dream, you know?
I mean, when they first got to Pasadena.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they weren't treated, there's where Eddie talks about it. He was not treated nicely when he was in grade school because he couldn't speak the language well, you know?
Incredible.
Now Van Halen is seen as the ultimate rock and roll American guy. I mean, when you think of great American bands, you got your Aerosmith, Van Halen. Who else? Who else are you going to put as a great American? Well, REM, of course, but like hard rock.
Hard rock. Yeah. Doors, Beach Boys, Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses you could put in. Yeah. But it's a small, very small, but Van Halen's definitely in there.
Yeah, definitely.
And even though they're from, you know, they weren't initially Americans. It's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, maybe they're having trouble with the language and everything, but they found the instruments that they could speak through and, you know, make music.
Okay, so that was kind of fun just to reminisce about the music, even though it's a sad occasion. Eddie, obviously, everyone talks about his smile and the joy that he brought on stage and through his guitar playing. So it was kind of nice to kind of reminisce about all that that Eddie brought into our lives when we were kids.
It's kind of hard to pack this into a little, you know, podcast like this because he had such an enormous impact on the whole musical world. And I feel like I could just dig in, you know, our own personal stories, our own personal favorites, but also just the greater impact. So I know we're barely scratching the surface, but hopefully we've honored him well enough with this episode.
We didn't know Eddie. He had an impact on our lives and kind of shaped who we are through this six-string guitar. It's crazy. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. Listen, we're going to put together a Spotify playlist You could listen to it on our website, wddimpodcast.com. And we will post links on our social media pages. Where are those, Holly?
On Facebook, and search for What Difference Does It Make, or WDDIM Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
Right. And you can.
And YouTube.
Yeah. And actually on Spotify itself. Go look for it, and you'll find the link. We'll play just songs that we loved. His music lives on. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
We are a proud member of the Pantheon Network family.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.